shocked by your wireless bill every month? All those ridiculous fees and tacked on taxes? You end up paying hundreds more a year than the price you expected. Switch to T-Mobile One because taxes and fees are now included. Right now, for just $100 a month with AutoPay, get 2 lines of unlimited data. That's 2 lines for $100, all in, all unlimited. Don't wait. Hurry to a T-Mobile store to switch and start saving hundreds today.
Top 3% of data users greater than 30 gigabytes per month may notice reduced speeds, sales tax included.
Hi, and welcome to this edition of The Right Stuff. We're going to have a wonderful time talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Kyle Pratt. He is the author of the new book, Seekers of the Earth, coming up next right here on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right. You're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm your host, the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J. I'm so glad you are here with me today as we talk to my wonderful guest co-host and contributor today, Kyle Pratt. He is the author of several speculative fiction novels, including his newest, Seekers of the Earth. And I can't wait to get started on that topic in just a few moments. As always, I want to thank you for your support of my books, The Sins of the Flesh series, as well as Dark Cherub, The Druid Sphere, The Cure, and so many others that I've written, and you've all been so supportive of them. So thank you so much for your support of my books and of my career. Those of you who have been following me for some time, you saw my career grow and manifest, and I want to thank you so much for your support. And don't forget, if you're in the La Mirada area in Southern California, I will be at the Southern California Christian Writers Conference. I'll be teaching 2 workshops during that time. The first workshop is using swear words and harsh language in Christian fiction, and the second workshop is talking about taboo subjects in Christian fiction. And I'll be there at wonderful Biola University from June 22nd through the 24th. So if you're in the area, I would love to meet you. So go ahead, register for the Southern California Christian Writers Conference. You won't be disappointed. As always, if you want to weigh in on a topic, you certainly can. But today we are going to have this podcast pre-recorded today. This is pre-recorded, so I won't be taking any live guests or calls today. But I'm so glad you are here with me to join in the conversation. So we're going to go ahead, take a quick short break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on The Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity, or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so happy you are here with me as I talk about my newest guest co-host and contributor, Kyle Pratt, and his new book, Seekers of the Earth. Those of you who know me, you know I love speculative fiction, and I love supporting authors who write speculative fiction. And of course, sci-fi is my love as well, so I'm really excited about this book. So without further ado, I want to introduce our guest co-host and contributor today, Kyle Pratt. Kyle, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. One quick correction. The title is Seekers of Earth.
No problem. Yeah. So I was saying Seekers of the Earth. I guess I'm just my Bible and fiction and everything is kind of coming all together. So I'm just making up the title as I go along. So really excited. So go ahead, tell us some about the book. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, the premise is, the science fiction premise of it is that several hundred years ago, aliens kidnapped hundreds of human beings from the Earth, and the story that they came to believe over time is that the Earth had been destroyed and these aliens had saved them, and they are enlisted in a fight against another alien group called the Valak. And so the humans become basically the protectors of their kidnappers and warriors for them. Over time, a lot of the Earth is forgotten, and God, when he's referred to, is referred to as the God of Earth. And many people wonder if God can even hear them in this far distant place that they are, and others have turned to even worshiping their kidnappers, the Mage. As this goes forward, but in the first chapter of Seekers of the Earth, the main character encounters this woman in a facility, a Mage facility that's been attacked, and she speaks of an Earth that still exists and hasn't been destroyed. People think she's crazy, though, but he begins to doubt it. And so it sets up this whole thing, what is truth, and the gradual change of belief of people. And the woman who's found, her name's Rachel, she, and several times, because she's in a very stressful situation, that she even thinks she's crazy to begin with. Other people think she's crazy, and she believes it herself, because how could all this be happening to her? That she prays to God, and as she begins to believe that she is on an alien world, she also wonders, can God hear her where she is? Anyway, it develops over the book, and eventually by the third book, which I've just started writing, they return to the Earth. So,
what I found so fascinating is that I love stories that delve into alien stuff. You know, I think it's a huge topic in today's kind of fringe, especially fringe Christian circles. We're talking aliens and extra dimensions and all kind of good stuff here. I love that type of thing. And so I really like how you have your characters worshiping alien gods, you know. And I like that because if we don't know who the true Lord is, we're going to give our devotion and worship to somebody. I think that is such a natural, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's like something that God implanted in us, that we recognize our own frailty, our own vulnerability, that we know we didn't get here by ourselves. And so we're going to worship something. And is that something that you kind of delve into in your book, too, is Seekers of Earth? Is that kind of something we delve into, that you're going to worship something because of the gratitude that the humans believe that they have to this alien race? Oh, you took us away before we can die, and then now they worship them, you know.
Yes, that the people are divided about it, but some do turn to the mage as gods, and they promote that. As a matter of fact, there's one scene where Rachel sees this statue of a huge angelic figure, and it becomes animated. It's basically, think of a 3D holographic trick, but the mage are using that as a way to present themselves. So they're encouraging this worship-like experience because they use it, basically, and some humans do accept it.
I like that. I'm really excited about this book, and I can't wait to delve some deeper into it. Go ahead. I want to take a step back real quick. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself. I know our audience is just love to know who our authors are. So go ahead. Tell us a little bit about yourself in your own words.
Oh, well, I'm older than probably a lot of your guests at 62. I grew up in Colorado, out in the middle of nowhere, and never read a book until I was in junior high school. And then one day, just completely bored, I found a book that my sister had, a science fiction book by Robert Heinlein, Starman Jones. And because I was so completely bored, I started reading it, and then over the course of several days, finished it, enjoyed it, and then began reading everything Robert Heinlein had. By the way, that that book Starman Jones, the first book I ever read, is still sitting on my desk. The original copy that I read, I've kept it all these years. Yes, kind of a reminder of where it all began. But as I delved into reading, I also imagined in my head plots that I would want to write. And I never did for a number of years. I went to join the military, did 20 years in the military, and during that time, while I was out on ships, I was in the Navy, I wrote a number of short stories, tried to get them sold, had only intermittent success. And after I got out of the Navy, I actually went into teaching and got a job up in Alaska in a Yupik Eskimo village, 300 people. And yes, and I thought I was in the middle of nowhere in Colorado. This was the middle of nowhere. No roads into the place. No cars. Yeah, you flew in by bush plane, and only if the weather was cooperating. But that's where I finished my first novel and got it published and didn't do much. But I managed to write another one, Through Many Fires, and I published that myself using CreateSpace and Kindle. And It took off.
Amen.
I wrote a sequel to it as fast as I could. I realized that was something I definitely needed to do, put it out, and it did well. And then the third book in the series also has done well, and I've now started writing full-time.
Amen. I like hearing that. I know so many of our listeners and supporters of the show, we all have this dream of, you know, writing full time. I know for myself, I still work and do several other things, and I write, you know, as I do my various enterprises that I do. And we all would love to write full time. And so I'm really so happy that you are able to use the gift God gave you to go ahead and use that gift and write full time. I do got to ask you a question. I kind of want to go back to your time when you were in Alaska. So I want, if you could peel back the veil, what is life like in a setting like that?
I thought I was going up there to, you know, to teach and then write in the evenings. But teaching in an Eskimo village is a full-time job. Although there's only 300 people in the village that I was in, all the students know exactly where you live, and if they have any questions, or even if they're just interested in talking to you, they'll just wander over, and if your door isn't locked, because nobody locks their door in an Eskimo village, they'll just walk right in. And so, you know, you more than once I would be half-dressed, and some student would walk back into my apartment and say, about the homework yesterday. It was a very unique experience. I would kid with the students that the internet is a worldwide thing. It goes completely around the world, but it has an ending point, and that's right here in this village. Because we did have, interestingly enough, there was very little running water in the village. I was fortunate that my apartment was right behind the school, and evidently there's a federal law that schools must have running water. So we had a water plant, and I had running water, but most of the village didn't. But we had Wi-Fi internet, which just, one of
that's
those strange things. Yes.
That is absolutely fascinating. Now, because I don't know anything about Eskimos, and anything I do know, it's just from hearsay. So are there some common myths that we have about Eskimos that you can kind of demystify for us?
Well, of course, the cartoon image of an Eskimo igloo isn't real. They they do learn as children in an emergency to burrow into the snow, but they don't make igloos. Many of them still do hunt. Matter of fact, when caribou would move through the village, which did happen, pretty much education would end because all the boys would be interested in going out and hunting. It is a very patriarchal society. The boys and the men hunt, and the women prepare the meat. That actually we've done in the school during the time when caribou would be harvested. We'd bring the meat into the school, and students would prepare it. Another thing that I found weird was that if there's a death in the village, the boys would go and dig the grave, which during the winter into the permafrost was really a difficult thing, but it's an excused absence for that. But yeah, I mean, it was something that the high school boys would usually do, is digging the grave.
Oh, man, I couldn't even imagine.
Yes, one other interesting thing that happened is my first weekend at the school, at that point I'm still living in the school, and the fire alarm goes off, and I realize, who do you call in an Eskimo village? I already know there's no fire department, so I go looking for the fire. I'm the only one in the school. And wandering around, and I finally find some workmen in the cafeteria who were making breakfast, and gotten a little carried away, a little bit too much smoke, and it set off the fire alarm. So I reset it and have breakfast with them. But the next day I ask one of the teachers who's been up there for a little while, what do I do if, you know, a fire does start in the school? And she said, put it out.
You are the fire department.
Yes. Yeah.
I find that funny.
Fire out.
I wonder if she looked at you like, duh, you know, what do you do with a fire?
It was exactly, yeah.
I am just enjoying this conversation we're having with Kyle Pratt. He is the author of several books, including his new book, Seekers of Earth, which is available on Amazon.com. You definitely want to go ahead and get a copy of this book today and then delve further into the rest of the story through the series as you continue into his world of Earth that has been forgotten. So definitely go ahead and get a copy of this book today. You can go on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. We're going to come back in just a few moments, so stay tuned right there.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Have you dreamed about writing a book but didn't know how to start? Or are you an established author who's looking to grow in your career? There's a brand new opportunity for writers of all genres to come together for training, fellowship, connections, and fun. Join us this summer, June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th in Southern California for the SoCal Christian Writers Conference. You can register for 1, 2, or all 3 days. Each day is packed with instruction and opportunities to progress in your writing expertise and career. This conference offers a stellar lineup of faculty along with continuing education sessions for every genre, from fiction to nonfiction, music to screenplays, and so much more. There's even a track for teens. Plan your family vacation around this conference. Register in February and you can bring a friend for half price. For more information, visit SoCalCWC.com. Come for the conference and stay for the fun.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You are listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5, part of the PJC Media Network. Again, I'm glad you are here as we talk to Kyle Pratt. He is the author of the new book, Seekers of Earth, which is available on Amazon.com. And it's also part of a series of a Forgotten Earth, Alien Gods, and Humans Who Are in the Middle of It All. So you definitely want to go ahead and get a copy of this book today. You are so going to enjoy it. And Kyle, once again, thank you for being with us on the show. I'm just enjoying myself as I peel back the veil of who you are and how all these experiences you must have must add to your story. And one of the things that you mentioned is that you were in the military for 20 years. So I kind of want to talk about that too, because I've had other guests on the show who have been in the military. And so how does the military and your experience in the military, particularly the Navy, add to your writing process or add to your stories? How does that all work together for you?
Well, it definitely does add to it. The first kind of military science fiction stories I ever wrote were on ship, and the description of the spaceships is taken from my experience on a Navy ship. The passageways, the grayness, a lot of times the pipes. You see that in some of the more, I think, realistic science fiction movies where they show it as a confining place, not a particularly hospitable place. Star mm-hmm. Trek presents such a pretty picture of a spaceship, and I don't think for the foreseeable future it's going to be anything like that. And so mm-hmm. the drabness and the closeness of the vessel is something that I took from my Navy experience, and also the military culture. It is a different world in the military, and so understanding that rank, regimentation, that kind of thing is something that I definitely add to my books.
Let me ask you this, because I've heard that before when it comes to the military, it is a different world out there, from military world to the civilian world. And I was talking to a friend of mine whose husband is in the military and recently left, and he kind of felt a little bit lost because he knew what to do when he was in the military, and then coming out of it, because he retired, I believe, he felt a little lost. He felt a little lost because you knew what to do, and then now you have to kind of forge your own path. Were those some of the things that you experienced yourself?
Yes. in the military, you get up in the morning, you know what you're going to wear, you know where you're going to go, and usually you know what you're going to do, or at least where you're going to wait while you've told what you're going to do. Unless you're the general, you know, the day is set for you. So breaking out of that is something that a military person needs to do. A quick example. In my book, Seekers of Earth, very early on, the captain of the vessel is killed, and the executive officer, the number two, takes his place. Now, when I wrote that, the editor went through and he noticed that immediately the XO, when he takes over, is called captain. And everybody refers to him that and defers to him. There's no ceremony. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, would it be that way? Wouldn't there be a ceremony or something? And actually, no. In the military, in a deployed situation, it would happen instantaneously and nobody would even think about it. But that's the military.
Okay.
He just moves up and he becomes the captain. Everybody knows it. So there's no ceremony. There would be when he got back, but not deployed.
Mm-hmm.
I find that
interesting. I could kind of get where the editor may have thought that. And now the first thing I think about is when Independence Day, where the person becomes the president because the president died and everyone who's in the line of succession, they do a really quick ceremony. Okay, you're the president now. Take care of it. You know, here's the planet. Take care of it, kind of thing. And not the planet, the country. Take care of it. And so I could totally see how the editor got that. But when you're deployed and in a combat situation, I think you would just, you know, mm-hmm. we don't have time for ceremony. We don't have time for that. And I can appreciate that. And so you said that your first book you read was by Robert Heinlein, and that is what started you on your path of reading and then writing.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that story because so many stories I remember from my youth are those building blocks that lead you to becoming a writer. I honestly believe writers have to be readers. I don't think I think it would be very prideful if a writer did not read other people's work or if they did not read other authors and stuff like that, but then they expect you to read their things. Now, as a reader, what do you like in a science fiction book, or what do you like in any book that you read? And then do you kind of take what you read and say, oh, I kind of like the way this person said this or how they explored this particular issue. I'm going to implement that in my own writing. Do you ever do things like that? I know for myself, I do that sometimes, but maybe you have a different idea.
No, I definitely do that. As I mentioned earlier, I would read a book and I would say, okay, I like that, but I would do it this way. And when I was young, in junior high and high school, it was just thoughts. But as I started to write, I would take ideas and influences and build upon them using what I had read. Robert Heinlein's Starship Troopers, the book, not the movie. I think the movie was an insult to his
book.
but the book is just beautiful military science fiction. And so that's my standard out there. And when I write a military science fiction scene, it's always with the knowledge that that's how, in broad strokes, that I want to do it. So, yes, I definitely use all of my reading, and I've read countless science fiction books in my life, and continue to do so.
What I find fascinating, so you mentioned Starship Troopers, because I saw the movie many years ago, and even on the I could say this because I had one, the VHS, it said, you know, you get the little blurs from people, you know, endorsing the movie. And all the person said was, the special effects are astounding. That's all they said. They never said anything about the movie itself, just the special effects are astounding. Because the movie was like a horrible movie. And I remember thinking, why are you hurting these people? I mean, these bugs. I remember thinking that, like, they're on their planet, minding their business, you know, being bugs, and we go over there and do what? So I never understood that part of the movie. Like, why are we even here? And so when it comes to science fiction, I like how science fiction just really takes the what-ifs of life and just puts into this glorious tome and glorious plot lines and great things like that nature. What would you say? You said Starship Troopers was like your standard or what you would like to have your books reflect. What are some other books that you enjoy with science fiction?
Oh gosh, there's so many. In Robert Heinlein's collection, Farmer in the Sky, I forget the author's name, Contact was mm-hmm. another one. If I ever write a first contact book, it would be that. Let's see, Arthur C. Clarke, Childhood's End, Rendezvous with Rama. There's just so many books that over time I've said, yes, this is the direction that I want to go. So, yes.
Now, with the sci-fi, because you also mix in your faith with it, even if it's a very subtle mixing in or very overt mixing, you do mix in your faith in with that. Was that a challenge for you when you first started writing? Or, I mean, how did you all work that together?
Yes, because I want to write for the general audience. I don't want to write a specifically Christian book.
Right.
And even Seekers of Earth, which has a strong religious element, you could read it
mm-hmm.
as a non-Christian and
mm-hmm.
get the influence and the ideas without having to explore the Christian faith. I want you to,
mm-hmm.
or not so much Christian faith and Seekers of Earth, but
mm-hmm.
The idea of God. And is he the God of the universe or is he a God of just one small part of it, which of course I'm trying to say God hears you wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
But that is subtly laid in. My first book, Titan Encounter, had a stronger religious element to it, but it leads up to it and you see it in the climax. And so you can read the whole book and then something pretty miraculous happens. And turns the book, but I try not to lay that in too heavy. Other books, Through Many Fires, the first one that came out, I lay it very subtly, just Christian themes almost.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in one of those books in that series, some soldiers are at the front line and they're scared and they're nervous and a chaplain's talking to them and he uses the analogy of Nehemiah on the wall defending Jerusalem. And those kind of subtle things where you can read the book and get the whole story without the Christian element, but if you are a Christian, you definitely see them. And if you dig a little deeper as a non-Christian, you begin to explore Christian ideas. And that's what I'm trying to do.
I like that. I like that a lot because a lot of times in my circles of Christian authors that I interact with, a lot of them have a hard time between whether or not they're Christian authors or Christians who write fiction or Christian who writes. And so I always say, I think it's between you and the Lord what you write. I think if you wanted to write completely secular, you could if you want to, you know. And what I mean by secular, I mean nothing that's going to be degrading to the Lord or anything like that.
Right.
If you choose just to write clean books or just things that don't have any religious content to it, I think that's between you and the Lord, you know. And so for myself, the way I view my writing, because I write in romance and I write Christian romances that are somewhat edgy but not graphic or anything like that, you know, that's between me and the Lord. And I see it as a ministry.
Yeah.
And so I like how you're approaching it. You're want to write for the general public, and I think that's great. And some people may frown on you upon that. Have you ever had that type of experience where some people say, well, if you're going to write Christians or put Christian themes in, then you need to come out as a Christian writer? And I really think that's between you and the Lord. What are your thoughts about that when you hear those kind of comments?
Well, I don't hide the fact that I am a Christian. It's in my bio. But I've actually had more pull the other way from secular non-Christian people saying, you need to be more graphic or more out there. And I've said, sorry, I can't do it. In a number of my books, a lot of people die. There's military action, explosions, even nuclear explosions. But I don't go into graphic detail about death and injury. I state it, and I try to state it clearly, but not graphically. Sex is another thing. People do have sex in my books, but I don't go into detail. Do we really need to?
Yeah, we don't need front row seats, right?
Yeah, you don't really need to. You just, as long as you get the picture that it's happened, really, I don't think I need to go there. In all of my books, I've probably used 3 or 4 curse words, and every one of them I think you could say on this radio without having a problem. It's always a decision when I come to something like that, you know, how do I want to do it? But a lot of times, all you need to do is say something like, he cursed. I mean, we can all picture it.
Yeah. We know what we would say we're in that situation, you know.
Exactly. And so I don't have to go, I don't feel I have to go into huge detail, but other people have said, yes, you need to be more graphic about this. Explain the injuries, explain the sex, show the cursing.
When you say that, I think of Twilight Zone, Rod Serling's Twilight Zone, and, you know, he was in the military in World War II, I think it was, World War II, he was in the military, and he ended up writing because that helped him get over the horrors of war that he saw. And that's how, in his Twilight Zone series, there's graphic violence that he never describes. Or if he does describe it, it's very quickly. And I kind of think that's where you're kind of coming from, that kind of from that vein, because there's one episode where, which one? It was when the guy could see the light on the person's face. They knew they were going to die next. And, the guy says, oh, my gosh, his intestines is outside of his stomach, you know, something, you know, horrible like that.
Yeah.
And but you didn't have to see. You kind of go like, ooh, you know, you had that kind of cringe thing. But nowadays, you know, the movies have a bigger, badder, more graphic, more complex and everything like that. And you kind of miss just the little subtlety of the violence. And I could kind of concur with that. Do we really need to know that, you know, something horrible happened to this man, or, you know, he's dying, you know, he's in pain, his body's hurt, he's been cut, whatever, you know? And so I can appreciate that, but I can see how some people will want more graphics because it is military. I can see how they want that, but I think you want to kind of focus more on the story, with how this all relates to the story. You don't want 4 pages of injury and then you don't have any idea what's going on with the bigger picture of the story. So I can appreciate that stance, Kyle. I really can. When we come back, we're going to talk more of Kyle Pratt and his new book, Seekers of Earth. You can go ahead and get a copy of that book today. It's on Amazon.com. And also check out his other works as well. You won't be disappointed when you check out Kyle Pratt's work. So go ahead and get a copy of his book today. And make sure you leave a review. Authors need reviews. It helps us breathe at night. It helps us feel better when we get reviews. So go ahead, get a copy, and then leave a review. We all love reviews. We're going to go ahead, take a quick short break. When we come back, more with Kyle Pratt.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author.
launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So glad you are here with me as I talk with my wonderful guest co-host and contributor today, Kyle Pratt. He is the author of the new book, Seekers of Earth, all about aliens and the forgotten Earth and the humans in between. Go ahead and get a copy of that book today. You won't be disappointed. Go ahead and get it and love on my brother and his work. And check out some of the other stuff that he has, too. We'll be talking about that right now. So, Kyle, people who are going to read Seekers of the Earth are definitely going to want to read some more of your other work. So go ahead. Let us know a little bit about those other works. Are they in series? Are they standalone novels? Come let us know about some more of your works.
Well, I have another series called Strengthen What Remains. Starts with Through Many Fires, which I mentioned earlier. There's 5 stories in that: Through Many Fires, A Time to Endure, Braving the Storms, and then a novella, Nightmare in Slow Motion, and another one, The Long Way Home. Interesting little story about Through Many Fires. I was writing that while I was up in the Alaskan village, and I was communicating by email with the graphic artist. And I said to him, I need a nuclear explosion behind the Capitol building. That's what I wanted for the cover. And he sent me an email back saying, no problem, I can do that. You know we're both on the NSA watch list now. And if you look at the cover, that's exactly what he provided. You see the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. with a nuclear explosion going off behind it. And that's how that book starts.
Wow.
Titan Encounter, I mentioned, which is probably my most overtly Christian book. I actually take inspiration from Paul's deliverance from prison as part of the climax for there. And then there's a collection of short stories. I call them Final Duty because the lead story is Final Duty. But there's a number of military science fiction stories set in the same universe that are available in that one. And Seekers of Earth is my newest one, and I'm hoping to make that into a 5-book series. I've already got it planned and plotted. If sales go well, it will be a full 5-book series. And almost everything I have is also available as an audiobook, too. Oh, one final mention. A new disaster post-apocalyptic book is coming out later this year. I don't have a title for it, but if you go to my website or sign up for the newsletter, I'll be talking about it as I get it closer to production. So that's pretty much a wrap on what I've written at the moment.
You know, Kyle, one thing I keep coming back to in my mind as I listen to you is how that first book led you on this path, you know,
yes.
That first book and how, you know, you were bored. And you said, I only read it because I was bored. That was it. I was bored. It wasn't any kind of, oh, I always wanted to do this. No, I was bored. What else are you going to do? Oh, here's a book. Let's check it out. Literally kind of, well, not literally, but kind of like that was your mindset there and how one
yes.
book totally changed your life. That's basically in my mind. That's kind of like what happened, you know, and not excluding the Bible, you know, just that's kind of like what happened. And I think there's a philosophical thing going on with that whole idea. And so when you think about your writing career, the fans you've garnered, the readership, the, you know, how you're now working full time as a writer and your experiences, could you bring it all back to just that one book? You know, did you join the military because of that book? Did you, you know, all that kind of, those kind of things, was it just from that one book? And kind of peel back the veil on some of your thoughts and how that one book changed things for you.
Well, it definitely did, and that's why it's still on my desk. I'm looking
mm-hmm.
at it at this very moment. It sits there because it's a reminder that this was the starting point, that one bored day that I opened a book. If I hadn't done that, would I have been a reader later on? Maybe. But would I have followed this course? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely did. Of course, there were other things. You mentioned joining the military. I joined the military when I ran out of money for college.
Oh.
So
nothing so poetic
that,
then, okay.
Yes, a lot of mundane things have contributed to my life. I joined the military because of that. I made it a career. I didn't plan on that. And I got a job in Alaska because, well, I didn't have a job, and they offered me one. So there were things like that along the way, and
mm-hmm.
it's kind of a weird building block process.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, all of this is influenced by my faith, which
mm-hmm.
Came before that Robert Heinlein book, but I don't know that I would have actually sat down and ever read the Bible if I hadn't read Heinlein's book first.
This, mm-hmm.
That showed me that I could actually read a book. And that definitely deepens my faith in that I do sit down and well, have sat down and read the Bible and do continue to do so. So I think it's a process, a building block process.
I like that. I actually like that. I think that resonates with me, especially in your book, Seekers of Earth. There's a thing that does God hear us? And I think that's important, especially in our current society where it seems as if God's not listening. And some people can get
yes.
extremely discouraged. Like we see the state of our country and not even just our country, the world. You just see this total turmoil just everywhere in so many different ways, in personal lives and private lives and in public view. You just see this turmoil. So does God hear the cry of the earth, even though we're being jeering and we're, you know, being disobedient? Does he hear the ones that say, Lord, please save us, you know? And that's why when we first connected, when we get ready for the show, first connected and I heard that, it just really resonated with me. It really, really did, because some people think God does not hear them, you know? And here
yeah.
you take that idea and put it in a book. And that's what I love about writers. They take these very hard questions of life and we put a nice plot to it, or you put a nice world to it. It could be here, it could be on planet Zorkak Galaka, or whatever you want to call it. And you just put these wonderful ideas there. And so with this theme in Secrets of the Earth, is that something you've thought about in the past, that this relates to your own life, or just something that you've seen? Is that where kind of like the genesis of the book came from?
No, actually, I got the broad idea for the story from several sources, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Bits the military portions from Starship Troopers, some of the Searching for Earth from Battlestar Galactica,
yeah.
And kind of rolled them all together into this. And then as I'm starting to write it, the idea of, well, would they remember God?
Mm-hmm.
Would they think God heard them? Came as I'm actually writing out the story. One of the interesting things I thought of while you were asking the question is Rachel in the story prays a number of times. She's not particularly religious, but
mm-hmm.
like the soldier in the foxhole, if you're in a desperate situation, the tendency is to pray, and she does that.
Mm-hmm.
Every time she prays, her prayers are answered, but she doesn't recognize it as an answer. Sometimes she'll pray, show me the way home, and something will happen that actually brings her closer to that, but she doesn't recognize it. And I don't plan until long into the series that she begin to recognize that her prayers are answered, but they are. Almost immediately, every time she prays, it's answered, but she doesn't see it.
That'll preach, Kyle, if you think about it. That'll preach on a Sunday morning somewhere, because I know we've been there saying, oh, Lord, answer my prayer, and he does, and we're just like, oh, well, that's just happenstance or circumstantial or coincidental,
yeah.
Rather, you know. And so, you know, Kyle, we're getting close to the end of our show. It's been absolutely wonderful talking with you. If people want to find you online, where can they find you?
Well, my website is kylepratt.me, kylepratt.me. And on Facebook, I'm Kyle on Kindle. To begin with, I only thought of myself as a Kindle author, and unfortunately
mm-hmm.
Facebook doesn't let you change the name, so I'm Kyle on Kindle. Yeah, those are the two best ways to find me. I am on Amazon. My books are on Nook, Kobo, Google Play, Audible. So you can find them. Look me up on Amazon or kylepratt.me or on Facebook at Kyle on Kindle.
You know, Kyle, this show is always about encouraging authors to write whom God has given the gift to write. In a few moments we have left, go ahead and encourage those authors whom God has given the gift to write to go ahead and pick up the pen.
Well, I definitely think that this is the best time in probably the history of mankind to be an author, because one way or the other, you can get your stories out. I mentioned earlier in this show that I had only intermittent success getting stories printed earlier on. And then through many fires and Titan Encounter, I decided to just put out there as novels on Amazon and CreateSpace, which does paperback books. But my success came after I made that decision. Now, I could have gone the traditional route and kept trying, and I might have been successful that way. But one way or the other, now, if you can write a story and make it a good story, you can get it out there and you can be successful. I definitely would encourage authors who are exploring writing to join a critique group, do the best job they can in writing, and then get professional editing to smooth out the writing. Don't skimp on it. And graphic design for the cover. Unfortunately, people do judge books by their cover. So you want to do the best you can on the cover, the best you can on the story writing, and get good editing. But then, one way or the other, traditional route, indie, self-publishing, today is a great time to get stories out, and you can be a success.
And I can't think of a better way to end the show today, Kyle. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being with us on the show today, for sharing your story, your background, and your history. And thank you for writing Seekers of Earth. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And we were talking today to Kyle Pratt. He is the author of several books, including his newest release, Seekers of Earth, which is available on Amazon, Nook, or wherever books are sold. You want to go ahead and get a copy of Kyle's book today. You won't be disappointed once you get it. And go ahead and follow him online. You can follow his website at kylepratt.me or follow him on Facebook at Kyle on Kindle. You can follow him at those two places, and he will get in contact with you. Like many authors, we love to hear from our readers. So if you've enjoyed any of Kyle's work, go ahead and let him know. Authors do need encouragement, so go ahead and encourage and love on my brother today. One thing I liked that Kyle mentioned that I kept going back through throughout my mind was that first book by Robert Heinlein. What if God has given you the gift to write and you aren't writing yet? What if that first book can change someone's life like it did Kyle's? Why aren't you being obedient to the gift that God gave you? Go ahead and write stuff. Go ahead and follow me on the PJC Media Network. We have a great lineup of shows for you. We have The Borough on Sundays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And then we have The Marriage Playbook at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with coaches Eric and Fran. Yours truly, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. And then follow the conversation with Let's Talk About It with Jenny at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on Fridays. And then join me again on Saturdays at 2 o'clock p.m. for the Parker J. Cole Show, where I talk about things in, out, and about the church with a strong emphasis on apologetic, biblical education, and commentary. Thank you so much for being with me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I am the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J., and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day. Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
Shocked by your wireless bill every month? All those ridiculous fees and tacked-on taxes? You end up paying hundreds more a year than the price you expected. Switch to T-Mobile One because taxes and fees are now included. Right now, for just $100 a month with AutoPay, get 2 lines of unlimited data. That's 2 lines for $100, all in, all unlimited. Don't wait. Hurry to a T-Mobile store to switch and start saving hundreds today.
Top 3% of data users greater than 30 gigabytes per month may notice reduced speeds. Sales tax included.